Blog Talk Radio.
Microphone off, and you're going to get an amazing duet between me and Barry. It's not for publication, though, but it sounds really good in my head. So, welcome to July 4th. For a lot of us, July 4th is the day like any other day, and especially with the rain and cloudiness we've got here, it is the day like any other day. So hopefully there will be people out there who are who are having the same kind of happy 4th of July and be tuning in. I know that we have Great Britain here and we have South Africa, and hopefully we'll get Australia in here too, and some Canada, so and of course a mix of the U.S. too. I want to thank all of you for being here, and hopefully we're going to be able to get a chance to really open some microphones and everybody talk about this stuff, because it is fascinating material, and I think something that's very, 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 very important for anyone who is on a spiritual pathway, especially because, you know, these are laws, and when you talk about laws, we have government laws, and we have religious laws, and we have all sorts of laws that we grapple with on a daily basis. You know, should I park here? I can't park here. It's handicapped, or you know, minor things. And, you know, those laws deal with the laws of man. And the laws of man have been known for decades to not be the best of laws. They are changed. They are switched. They are ignored. They are abused. There are people who claim diplomatic immunity and smuggle stuff, which is obviously against the law. And our laws are not absolute. They sometimes blink where they shouldn't, and the laws that we have instituted and created for ourselves as a species stink. But these are universal laws, and that's very different. And universal laws have to be treated differently because you don't have a choice, and that's the cool thing. If you don't like the laws here in the U.S., you can move someplace else. If you don't like the laws there, you can move someplace else. You don't have to. You don't have to stay there. You don't like the laws. If you can't fight them, and you don't want to join them, move. And you know, that's one of our choices. That's free will. But these universal laws, they are the principles and rules for governing human beings' conduct, which are universal in their acceptability, translation, and philosophical basis. In other words, these are absolutes. So it's something that we want to pay close attention to. And we went round and round and round in circles last night, and it was really kind of cool. These are rules that there is no way out of. They are absolute. They are always applying to our reality. And they apply not only to us, but every living, breathing, being, thing on the planet. So that you know, it's sort of like these are the laws that we have had, that we have dealt with and worked with for eons. These are the laws that are just absolutely the ones that we have to focus on and we have to pay attention to. And I think the problem that we went into last night, and you know, I don't want to go over. I think I found one thing said that these are absolute, and the process of what happens if you break one and what comes back is absolute, and it never fails, it never wavers, and they ensure that they've been that way for, and I don't know where they got the number 14 billion years, but it's a good one. I'll take that one. It's just that I think that we sometimes confuse the fact that these are laws that apply to our spirit, and they are laws that our spirit is absolutely governed by. And it's that level of consciousness, that higher consciousness, that these laws are the ones, you know, you have to be aware of them. And if you're aware in a consciousness state, like right now, it makes life just so much easier and so much more pleasant. And if you absolutely blend with these energies and work with them, life becomes absolutely blissful. But here's what the universal laws govern. They govern consciousness. And you got to hear that. They govern consciousness. It's not necessarily that they are you know, sitting and seeing, you know, you were nice to George and so George has to be nice to you or something like that. That's not the way they work. It has to do with your consciousness, your spiritual intent, the wholeness with which you are applying yourself to manifesting something. Our consciousness, our higher consciousness combined with our consciousness, if ever the two, you know, really got mixed together, and if we were able to have total, absolute control of the whole process, our consciousness would be more powerful than all of the computers that are put together on this earth. I think it's even more than that. I think I gave you the number someplace, but it is the consciousness, the higher consciousness that is absolutely under the venue of these universal laws. Now, it is true that they work on a physical level as well. They don't work on the physical level as in the same exact manner. You have to understand that the universal laws are looking at universal balance. They're looking at a balance not only of this lifetime, but of all time. So sometimes you can be sincere and generous and giving and doing everything right with the proper intent, and things don't seem to come your way. That's because there is a balance from another lifetime, a balance from another time that is having to be leveled out. But it doesn't mean that you have to suffer at all. And we work and are going to be working with over the next months on our perception, on how we see things. If, for instance, you've been out of work for, I know, 2 or 3 years, something like that, and everything you do falls apart and nothing works for you and you know, you're getting a bit fed up with all of this garbage about, you know, ask and you shall receive, ask the right way and you'll get whatever you want. That's not the way it goes. We get what we need. We get what's appropriate for us. And sometimes we think more is appropriate than the universe doles out. But in reality, it's not. In reality, to be perfectly honest with you, those who are genuinely, and I mean genuinely, on a spiritual pathway, and I don't mean reading the books, taking workshops, having certificates, and I don't know, being a practicing psychic in the bookstore across the street. That doesn't mean you're on a spiritual pathway. That's a physical reality, and that has nothing to do with what your spirit is here to do. Our spirits are here to evolve, to experience lessons, and to grow from them. Those lessons that come to us, we signed up for. Before we incarnated, we picked parents, we picked situations, we wanted to expand certain areas. Now, does the spirit inside of us know exactly what's going to befall us on a personal level? Probably. But they know it's there because there's a level of consciousness that needs to be expanded into. And it's how we deal with that situation that expands the spirit that is within us. And so it's really important that we understand that these laws, and there are a ton of them. I know I gave you almost 40 of them. And some of them will be very familiar to you, and some of them will kind of, you'll look at them and you'll think, wow, I never knew that was a law. And I think that if you really want to Google more than I did, you'll find tons and tons more. There are so many of these laws. But they're absolute. What they do is they look for balance, and there is an overriding theme in all of them. And yeah, it is hard to look at in a bigger picture. But you have to understand, as a spirit on a human journey, that's how we have to look at it. We are not just this little person in this singular lifetime within us. Is a spirit that has come through time. In us is a spirit that was created and is a part of the infinite spirit out there that created all of us and all of this. And we're on a journey through time. It's not a lifetime, it's time itself. So that sometimes we get so caught up in the I want and I need that we forget that there's a bigger picture here. And when we look at the bigger picture, when we understand that this is a growing learning situation, and bring our sense of humor into play, which is really more important than anything else, I think, because otherwise this all just can be miserable. So what we've got here is an understanding that what you send out is what you get, literally. And sometimes we look at what we get and we think, wait a minute, I send out a lot more than that, and I should have gotten more back. Then we get locked into the physical reality, the absolute, the structure and the solidness and the heaviness of the physical reality wherein we dwell. We're moving through this time frame in a body that is an avatar that will no longer be with us. As soon as we're done with it, our spirit moves on. And the body, you know, dust to dust. The body will go back to the earth or wherever. But the spirit will move on, and there will be other lessons, and there will be greater expansion. So that we have to understand that when we think we are putting out there what we really want, there's a difference between want and need. What the physicality of us wants, and what the spiritual aspect of us needs, are often two very, very different things. And trust me, the spirit usually wins out. But it's a matter of sometimes understanding that there is a process going on here. Sometimes life gets very, very difficult, and you know, you kind of look around and you think, you know, what did I do to deserve this? Instead of looking at it that way, I think it's necessary that the law of reflection, it really does tell you that whatever you're surrounded by, whatever your reality is a direct reflection of what's going on inside of you. And maybe you need to go inside and straighten things up. There have been times in my life when I have been surrounded by chaos, and it has felt like chaos. And when I look back, I understand that when I calmed myself down, when I tried to deal with things one at a time, when I did not let things overwhelm me, when I you know, really went through things as best I could and did the best that I could in the situation, that things balanced out, that there was a reason for everything that happened to me, and that reason was a good reason, because, and it's how you perceive it. If you perceive it as good, it becomes good. And genuinely, okay, yeah, Deb is chiming in here. Of course, she could chime in on the microphone, but she has to type. Anyhow, the reality here is that when you start to deal with the chaos inside, your life becomes more ordered, more structured, and things flow easier. There are times when our consciousness overrules everything that spirit wants, and it can for a time. We have free will. And when it does that, oftentimes we hit a brick wall. And I have hit a number of brick walls in my life. And they seemed devastating at the time, but in retrospect, in looking back on them, I understand that I had been getting messages from the universe, from my higher consciousness, that I had another direction I had to go in, and I avoided it. I decided that I would do my own thing, and so I did. And the universe said, okay, but you're going to be sorry, and they were right. I was sorry. So it's sort of, you know, you have to understand that we have control over what happens to us. We have control over what befalls us in this life. We have control over the whole thing. Lynn's mentions that, you know, if we knew the whole picture, it would be overwhelming. I mean, we're on a cosmic journey that has gone on for thousands of years and will go on for God knows how many hundreds of thousand years beyond here. So that if you understood that, this lifetime would be irrelevant and it would kind of, you know, be a waste of your time. But it's not a waste of your time because your spirit grows and your spirit expands and your spirit absolutely, you know, if you work with these laws, it can be blissful and abundant and wonderful. Before I go any further, while I have those of you that are here on board, last night people asked me to create a blog so that you guys could talk to each other and, you know, kind of talk back and forth about the stuff that we've talked about in class. You could toss things around. You could do whatever you could just, I don't know, gossip, trade recipes, whatever you want to do. You know, if you trade recipes, I'm going to have to make sure I get my fair share of them anyhow. So it is at www.barbaradelong.blogspot. What was it again? It's www.barbaradelong.blogspot.com, and it's spiritually yours. And you can make comments on the material. You can ask questions of one another. You can debate back and forth all you like. It's there for your use. I think the only thing I ask is don't tell anybody they're wrong, because nobody is wrong. We're all working on our own inner truths, whatever they are, and they are right and true to us. So that it's really important that you understand that your philosophies, your inner philosophies, are very appropriate, but just for you. And if you want to share them, which is wonderful, and that's how everybody learns, please do that. But understand that if somebody's truths don't match yours, it just means that they're in another place, and those are the ones that they're working with at this moment in time. Now, I'm curious, and I'm going to ask a couple of you, I'm going to open mics. The heck with you telling me you want to talk. I'm just going to open your mics because there aren't that many of you, so I'm going to just open them. I'd really be very curious to know, were you aware there were these many laws, and were you aware that they applied to your consciousness as opposed to your physical reality? Lynn, what do you think?
I was aware there was a lot of spiritual laws, but I wasn't aware. I did know that they applied to your consciousness, but not to the degree that you've gone in depth in with them, Barbara. And it is something that I have a big thing with, you know, that we create this reality. And the big thing that I have against it, that train of thought, is the fact that on my path, not just like in my life and people in my family having problems and different things, but when I've met people that have had been seriously ill, or they've been severely disabled, and I've worked with them, and it's a case of why did they choose? How can they say that they chose to come and live this life, you know, have a life like that, you know? And with very serious disabilities. And I find it very difficult to come to terms with. But if I step back, I can see the reason for this and that.
Well, you know,
but when I'm actually in it, I think, I can't imagine.
I can understand that. Yeah, I wouldn't sign up for that. But the reality here is the spirit asked for a situation that would allow it to evolve in certain directions, and that's what the universe gave it. And it depends upon our perception in any given situation as to how difficult or horrible a situation is. I recently saw a video, and it went around YouTube, so maybe a number of you saw it, of a man born without legs and without arms.
Yeah.
And he is the most amazing inspirational speaker I have ever heard in my whole life. He skydives, he surfboards, his comment was that at one point in his life he wondered, oh my God, I could never put my arms around a woman And then he realized that he could put his heart around a woman, and that was even better. He has a rich, full, absolutely wonderful life, but it's because that's how he perceives it. It's not a disability, it's a challenge. There are people out there that have had terminally ill, and they have turned that terminal illness into an amazing example of joy, love, and spiritual understanding in how they have dealt with the entire process of passing into the next realm. So it's our perception. It's how we choose to look at these situations. I had a car accident and I had vertigo, and I kept falling down. And you know, I finally said to somebody, I'm going to call carpet companies to see if they need somebody to investigate pile, because I'm on the ground so much, I might as well make some money from it. It's how you perceive it. It's how you deal with it. And I mean genuinely perceive it, not fake say wonderful positive things and be in agony inside of you. I mean genuinely embrace something that's happening to you and find a way to make it joyful. And even death can be joyful. And, you know, when people do move on to the next realm, my husband he was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer, and we literally had maybe 6 weeks before he actually passed away. And I was so glad for him when he finally did pass, because it was an adventure that he had been so looking forward to. And it was a celebration. It was, you know, yes, I mourned, but the reality was he was just in such a better place, and I knew he was happy. So how could I be sad for that? And people are still, that was 2 years ago, and people are still waiting for me to crumble because I'm in denial. I'm not in denial. I embrace it, and I'm glad for him. He left a lot of things undone here. I wish he had finished. But overall, I mean, how could you be sad for someone you love to be in the place of peace, tranquility, and health?
I mean, I'm with you there.
So no matter how bad the situation is, no matter how difficult, and don't get me wrong, for instance, if somebody loses a child, you don't start cracking jokes. But that child has moved on. That child was only meant to be here for a short period of time. And that child was a trigger to everyone left behind to make a change in their life and perception. And that was their job. And would you have wanted them to spend another 30 or 40 or 50 years on a planet, in a plane, in a body that no longer had a purpose?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. So
it's our perception. It's totally our perception. And yes, nobody wants to see anyone suffer, and no one wants to see anybody in agony. And, I mean, that's just wrong as far as I'm concerned. But if you're looking, you're looking at that with conscious eyes. You're looking at that with your small brain as opposed to your
big brain.
And you know, if the small brain just has this reality to draw our knowledge, our wisdom, and our whatever from, and our small brain is definitely restricted by religion and teachers and culture and ethnic whatever and all of these things. But our consciousness, our higher consciousness, has none of those restrictions and understands there's a process going on. And you know, when you get too caught up in it, you just say, that's little brain, that's small brain, let's take a look from the big brain's point of view. And that's where the laws actually apply. So
what you have said and just sharing it and talking to you has made it become clearer to me from my point of view, Barbara, because I've always, I'm here to help people. I've always wanted to help people. It's something that's inbuilt in me. Before I got on a spiritual path, which was a big bang in 2000, but And I have experienced the things that I've experienced I can help people with, but I do it with a greater understanding and compassion. But at the same time, I've always also learned to walk away and not to get caught up in drama, other people's drama, which I do at times, you know, and I do feel I'm very empathic, but I, since I was ill myself, I can't, I'm gradually getting back onto my spiritual path, what I was doing, you know, being, but I told the universe I didn't want to die because I've had cancer when I had cancer, and I had stage 4 cancer, and I'm still here now, and I've had the all clear, and I just go for checkups. But I found that when I was extremely ill, nothing mattered except looking after me, you know. And now I'm getting back to doing things for others and that. And I've lost track of what I was going to say now.
Well, I have found that I have found that the universe puts us through situations that we survive in order for us to be an example of you know, how to take your perception. And I'm just going to take my husband's passing. And I have often said, let me back up from that. I have often said, and I truly believe, that a teacher or a healer has no business trying to work or share with someone if they have not experienced the lesson they are trying to teach themselves personally. So while I was good at being comforting to people who had lost a loved one, now I can look at them and say, I understand what you're feeling, but it does get better.
Yeah,
I've been there.
I understand that.
You know, I've been there, and I know what you're going through, and it will get better. And so, with your illness and things like that, obviously it was something that you were supposed to survive in order to be able to give that message to other people. And you know, whether you write books about it or you talk about it individually, it doesn't matter. There's a genuine sincerity in you, and you are driven to share your experience and to share the wisdom that you gathered from it. You weren't given it as a punishment. You were given it as a challenge, and there's a big difference. There's a huge difference. You weren't punished.
I don't look at it as a punishment. I wasn't brought up with a strict religious thing that you get punished if you're ill, it's a punishment. And I can't think that way, Barbara. But I know a lot of people do. They think if this happens and that happens, it's a punishment from God. But I can't look at it like that.
And if you look at the universal laws, if you understand what's going on with these laws, and they are absolutely, you can't break them. It's so cool. This happens, then this happens. It's that easy. If this, then that. It's the law of cause and effect. You do something, and there is something that comes back at you in direct proportion quite often. Sometimes I think it's even better, to be honest with you. But it's really important for us to be able to understand these laws. And for, you know, everybody who signed up for this circle wanted to understand the aspect of the spiritual, not the psychic, not the intuitive, not all of that crap, but how do I understand this process that I am trying to follow if you don't understand the rules that absolutely are enforced without us and within us constantly? I mean, are these I gave you 40, there are probably hundreds more, and there is an underlying similarity Every one of them, it basically says it's up to you. You are in charge. What you perceive comes to you. What you put out there, it consciously, with your consciousness, not physically, but with your consciousness. And your consciousness then, of course, does dictate a lot of the physical stuff you do. But it's your consciousness that these laws govern, not necessarily, you know, what you physically do on a day-to-day basis. That's just how this avatar survives on this earth plane for this lifetime. But our actions are reflected back at us always. And whether it's a kind word or a kind gesture, or whether it is, you know, not paying a bill and trying to run from it, I mean, these laws are absolute. There's no way around them. The Bible talks about them. Yogananda talks about them. Just about every spiritual teacher out there can throw some of these laws at you, and some of them are worded just a little bit differently, but they're all absolute. And you can't, I mean, you'd absolutely tie yourself up in knots if you try to analyze everything down to the nitty-gritty, because these aren't laws you have to think about. These laws, these are laws you become a part of.
Yeah.
And so it's important you know they're out there.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
I mean, you know, it's gonna be in effect, you know, every waking and sleeping moment of your life. It's in effect when you're astral traveling. It's in effect when you're dreaming. It's in effect when you're comatose. It's in effect when you're in a coma. It's always in effect, and most of it deals with perception and how you are addressing your reality, how you understand the people around you, and the compassion, the genuine compassion that you feel. And this is one of those places where you can't bullshit it, because the universe will absolutely laugh in your face and say, go back to square one.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, you know, I think I'm ready for this level of awareness. You know, I've done everything that I need to do. I've taken all the classes. I got certificates. I'm a practicing this, and I'm a practicing Reiki master, and I'm a practicing all of these other things. And the universe will basically look at you and say, so what? Because the universe doesn't care about all that. That's all man-made physical stuff. It's the genuine level of your consciousness that makes the difference. And so that's where we have to focus, you know, what is genuinely within us. I'm going to pull Carrie on. Hi, Carrie. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. How do you feel about all this law stuff?
I'm kind of absorbing tonight. Anything is possible with the laws. I unfortunately didn't look at your document, but I took a fleeting glance over it when you first sent it. There's just so much you can intellectualize, and then there's
Were you aware that they were out there other than the law of attraction, which everybody knows about?
I think I know there's something out there. To put a label on it, no. Don't think, in all honesty, I don't think I would think there could be a law for this and a law for that, but if you want to play intellectual, yeah, okay, you can have a law for everything, as physical life tries to have a law and a label for everything. For me, it's not my focus. I can understand where the law of attraction comes in. I understand that the possibility of what you think you, in your daily thoughts, attract your life, basically, and your life events. Okay, I can cognitize that, and there are a couple of others that I can cognitize, but the rest, you know, what I need to know will come to me. And I've kind of looked at the secret, I've looked at the secret plus, which is James Twyman's, the Moses Code. If you go and look, Moses Code is on YouTube, so I watched that whole thing. Yes, there is all this other stuff, and you can go and go and go with this whole law of attraction and law of,
They can be overwhelming, and it does take quite a bit to absorb them all. I'm going to pull Renee in, too.
Yeah, thank you.
Hi, Renee.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
I know what she means by it's overwhelming. And, you know, I was just sitting here, and I was thinking, all of a sudden it went through my mind, like Patricia Diane Kodorova. She's written quite a few books, and she has laws, too, in there, but she calls them by something differently, and that's where my mind was going, and then you unmuted me, and I have her book. It'd be interesting to see, but I think some of hers are like purity and the same thing, you know, cause and effect, and so you're right. I've always known that they're out there, and I've probably read them in different ways, you know, throughout different times. And I'm like the gal who was just talking. It overwhelms me. I can't. I can look at them. I know they're there. I can get a concept of them, and then I just leave it alone. And I guess because I have just a hard time trying to. I just let my higher self and my higher consciousness guide me. Huh? I try. And I think it's not always easy, as everybody knows. But and I think that those laws, there's so many of them, but I think they all mean the same thing. And we all, on some level in our consciousness, we know them.
Uh-huh.
And that's why, like, when you do something or you're feeling something, like, I always feel my higher self come forward that is like an observer inside me that says, now, how are you looking at that? How does that make you feel? You know,
mm-hmm.
What do you see? And so then I can go back and say, well, I just acted like a complete dipshit, and I don't even know why. So...
Uh-huh.
You know, because if I put that out, it's going to come back. Like, and it does in different ways. And I think as you evolve,
uh-huh.
like when I think back, like when I was young, a young girl, I would have a freaking temper tantrum, right? And I would throw something or I'd break something. And if I threw like a really something like a ball or something that could come back, it would hit me in the nose. If I got mad and I was stomping off, I would trip and fall and hurt myself. So it was like change that perception, even back then, but I didn't pay attention. So
uh-huh.
It's interesting the way that it works in our lives, and our perspectives are all so different. And I think that's the interesting part. But I do get very, very confused. I do. But I really liked it when you said that those laws change our consciousness. It's our consciousness. And
right.
Boy, that hit me, and I went, ooh. And then I aligned with it. I could feel the alignment of it. So
uh-huh.
Anyway, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
Well, you know, I totally agree with you. I mean, it's not like, you know, when we were in school, we had to memorize things, and then we had to be able to spit them back. And that's
mm-hmm.
not the mm-hmm. case here. This is not an intellectual thing. These
mm-hmm.
laws govern our higher consciousness. And our higher consciousness tries to communicate that to our physical consciousness. Sometimes well, sometimes not so well. But you know, we hit. I mean, every now and then I'll say or do something, and I'll hear in my head, "You're going to pay for that one." And you know, and my reply back is, "Yeah, I know, but it was worth it." Somebody last night said something about Toth and the material, and I happen to have a little bit of knowledge about it, and I could have let it go, but I didn't, and I said, "Oh, you're talking about the Toth material and the Emerald Tablet material," and you know, it was ego. It was totally ego.
Yeah.
Felt really good. And I'll probably pay for it somewhere. But but the reality here is this isn't, people are thinking that it addresses their physical reality and what's going on in their physical reality. And that's not really the case. Our physical reality is a manifestation of what our spirit is creating. Okay. It's the higher consciousness that is guided and that is definitely influenced by these laws. Now, if we pay attention to them, if we're aware of them, if we understand them, then we can make choices in our physical reality that helps that higher consciousness along, and it helps us to evolve as well.
May I interject, please?
Sure, please.
I've been sat here thinking since Rini said what she said, and I've found over the years that with these spiritual laws, it's the opposite of what we have been brought up to receive, to know, and have been taught in many cases. It's like things on the spiritual path are the opposite way round of what we've been taught as we've been growing up, you know, in school and different things, by your parents, you know. And that's just a thought that I'd like to pass on to you, you know.
Well, if you look,
I think
at
that's really true, yeah.
It's like people say, if you're angry, let the anger out and get out, you know, just let the anger out, and it'll do you good to let the anger out, which it does sometimes, but it's as okay as long as you're not hurting somebody else with that anger. But then sometimes you just get angry, don't you? Do you know what I mean? And you have a Paddy, and I just found over the years, different things that I've done, that the things that I was led to believe as I grew up, and over the years, I find on the spiritual pathway, it's an opposite way of thinking, you know.
Well, isn't that why, like in so many spiritual teachings, and even like with myself, I'm always looking at my belief structures, and where did that belief come from? Where did I get that in my head? Where did that come from? And I try to feel like where it came from. Did that come from when I was a child? Did it come from a past life? Or how I was taught by my parents or friends when I was young? So I'm imprinted with thinking all these thoughts that really aren't that spiritual, that are, what do you call it? What do you call it, Barbara? Physical or of the earth, or I don't know. I don't know what you call it.
Well, you're absolutely right.
It's other people's ideas that are impressed into you that you should be like this and that.
Yes.
Well,
and
so,
do this and that.
I think you have to transcend that somehow.
Well, yeah, at some point in our evolution, we do. We are programmed by parents, teachers, cultures, ethnic, you know, our physical reality. We're programmed by those experiences. And if all you have is the focus of this time frame, that's what you are guided by. But once you understand there is a spiritual reality out there, and suddenly those programs don't fit the paradigms that you're feeling on a spiritual level. And so what's happening to people like you guys, like me, like Deb, like anybody who listens to this program probably, is that those paradigms fit a time frame. And that time frame is over, and there's a new time frame here, and it's time for new paradigms. It's time for new philosophies. It's time to expand our consciousness and embrace new thoughts, new directions, new ways of looking at, my God, our existence, the spirit within us, our place in the universe. I mean, it's all changing, and it's changing so rapidly, it's unbelievable. And there is that conflict, absolutely. And I'm not saying people shouldn't be religious, but I am saying being spiritual not only encompasses religion, but philosophy and science and everything else, and goes beyond those things. And and it's the going beyond that lots of people have trouble with because they've been taught there was nothing more.
Right, or to look at it from a different perspective.
Uh-huh.
And that is part of the consciousness, you know, that you're talking about, that higher consciousness that knows these laws maybe in a different concept that we can even imagine,
mm-hmm.
Is trying to teach us. And that's what I always feel like, is like there's this teacher in me, this higher self that tries to show me things. And there are points in evolution with me where you can tell me a concept, or I'll read a concept, and it may take me 2 years to get it.
Absolutely.
Like me. You're a plodder. But once you get it, you've got it, and you don't forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And then it expands, and it takes on a life of its own and grows.
Yeah.
But it was just like when she said, Barbara said that today, I could feel it vibrate through me, and I was like, ooh, and I even wrote it down, you know, because it's the laws that affect our consciousness. And, you know, when we realize, really, how many consciousnesses do we have when you think about it, right? We got the conscious, super conscious, and isn't it the super, super conscious? I don't know. I can't remember. I know there probably are,
and depending on whatever textbook you read, I choose to have two. I have one that is locked in the physical reality and one that is in the spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
Easier for me to deal with. You know, the one that's in the... I mean, you know, what level are you? I mean, no, take the elevator to the next floor. No, to me, there is the consciousness that is fed information from the physical reality through the physical senses. And, you know, what I have learned in my experience here on the earth plane in a physical body. And then everything
right.
else is my higher consciousness. It's the one that traveled through time. It's the one that has the link to the infinite, the direct line to the infinite, I might add.
Yes.
It's the one that knows everything. And it's the one that you know, I am guided by constantly. It's the one that if I need to have, that if it really needs to make an impression on me, it says, okay, I'm not your higher consciousness. I'm Master so-and-so, and I'm telling you this. But it's really my higher consciousness. If I were to be those people that feel that they are channeling master spirits, master guides, and stuff like that. That's ridiculous. You are a master guide. You are a master teacher. You are a master speaker. You are a fully evolved spiritual being inside there. And you know it all. You really do. Of course, the physical part
I agree
never
with
listened.
That.
And I think my feeling is that those that say they, for instance, channel Saint Michael, he's one that most people channel, they're hitting a level of consciousness inside of themselves that is the Saint Michael material. But if they wanted to channel higher, they could do that. If they wanted to, you know, say it was Master Light or Master Charge, they could do that too. Because when people ask me what master I channel, I always say Master Charge.
Master charge. What, as in a big charge of light?
No, master charge is a credit card.
How is it? We don't have that one over here. Well, we might do, but I don't know of it.
So that's why you haven't run across him in the spiritual realm.
Oh, that's very good. Can I
He is unforgiving, I might add, too.
Harry's just put, I channel Virgin money, you know.
But our consciousness will do whatever it needs to get information from us. And if we won't pay attention just because it's coming from us, it'll say, I'm Master so-and-so, and then you suddenly pay attention to the information. And I think this started with people who were transmediums. I truly believe they were not channeling that particular entity. They were channeling that level of consciousness from within themselves.
Yeah.
It wasn't that someone stepped in. And you know, I try to say when I do readings and stuff that, you know, I'm getting this from spirit. And I mean, I'm getting it from my spirit. I'm not getting it from somebody who's standing on my shoulder whispering in my ear. Unless,
mm-hmm.
of course, it's a dead person, and then I am. But you know, it's we have to understand that instead of looking outside of ourselves for the guidance, the structure, the wisdom, the health, the whatever, it's all inside. And that's what all of these laws are saying to you. It's saying you're in control. You have complete control.
Yeah.
Your perception will make... Go ahead.
I had a complete epiphany about 15 years ago or so. A complete epiphany? Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
I read this book, and it was like the first time I had any inclination that I actually had, I don't know why, that I had chosen this life, that I had chosen this body, that I had chosen the parents, the whole thing. I'd set this all up, and I just, because my whole life, you know, I felt so powerless. I actually I loathed myself. That's a long story, but anyway. So, and I went through this, and I was just like, oh, my God. And it wasn't that it rang true on a mental level, which it did, but it also was just so over, it held so much weight. And it was just like the heavens opened up, I swear to God, and it was like, you know, light shone through, and people were up there going, yay, she got it. And it just changed my life. From that point on, my life changed because my perspective changed. And it allowed me to be free, and it allowed me to feel joy. I had never felt joy. Well, maybe when my kids were born or something like that, but
uh-huh.
most of the time it was always underlying, you know. But when I figured that out, I was like, yee-haw, I was just set free.
Hello, I've just got to step out of the room for a moment.
Sorry. Okay. Yeah, it does.
Okay,
and, you know,
I guess I'll try to jump in for just
okay.
a second. This is Deb. And
okay.
I think what we were struggling with is what we understand is the universal laws. And then we find out, wait, we were only told maybe half of the universal law. If we even understood that it was a universal law and that it actually had a balancing component to it. But what I posted with the in the room is the Bliss Return. It's a WordPress, you know, piece somebody put up. But I thought that it kind of made it, you know, succinct in saying that it's the 21 sub-laws. That is what I think we struggle with as our human component tries to understand. And I have it pulled up here. So it's like the aspiration to a higher power is one of it. Charity, compassion, courage, dedication,
uh-huh.
faith, forgiveness, generosity, grace, honesty, hope, joy, kindness, leadership, non-interference, patience, praise, responsibility, self-love, thankfulness, and unconditional love. Mm-hmm. Those are the sub-laws that we work with, and I think, this is just my own thing, but I think that's what we were led to believe was the universal laws when it's only a part of it, because they're listed as sub-laws.
I don't even know what to say to that. It's that that's too overwhelming. I don't know.
Compared to, you know, the whole part of the big laws, you know, the law of divine oneness. We are all one. The law of vibration.
But with those laws, that whatever laws they are, I know that, let's just talk about, like, forgiveness. Forgiveness is not something that most of us are just born with, right? We have experience.
We have to learn it.
And have it done to us, and we do it to them, and then we do other things, and then we go, oh, my God, I did that, and I want to be forgiven. So you can feel both sides of it. And then you have an understanding of that bylaw or whatever you want to call it, or secondary, or then you, okay, and that's with all of them. As you experience them, they become part of your reality or your consciousness. Your consciousness finally gets through to the physical. So, yeah, I think.
Okay, and then, see, you know, forgiveness is a big one to take, because I was assigned that one to work with in school before. And there's literally 12 steps to forgiveness, and most people only think there's one.
Mm-mm. No. That's a real
good question. Okay, but what I'm saying, and there's a wonderful book out there. It's called Dare to Forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And the man literally, he learned it, you know, by living it. So then he kind of put it into words and into a book. And he says, this isn't all of it, but this is to get you started. And everybody's going to be a little different in and of themselves because of, you know, each person's acts are
right,
at a different degree.
Yeah, some people are not going to stoop as low, if you call it low, because then you're labeling it. But stoop to, like, some of the things that I did. I did horrible, horrible things to people. And that was...
And there might be somebody that would look at your list and go, this is nothing. You should have saw what I did. I'm just saying.
It matters to me because it was really, really hard for me to do to forgive myself. I think it's easier to forgive other people.
I think that's the hardest part, is forgiving yourself, or even comprehending that forgiveness of yourself is important, as well as forgiving the other person, or just even forgiving the situation. And that understanding that just because you forgive it doesn't mean you condone an action.
Right.
For your own peace, your own solace, you need to forgive yourself to allow the rest of the circle to begin. Because it's energy thing.
Those kind of laws we understand. What are some of them that are kind of weird that, like, you might go, like, some of the laws, you'd say it and then you'd go, what the hell does that mean? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, there's people that understand. Okay, those are the 21 sub-laws that we think we understand. We aspire to a higher power. There's charity. There's compassion. There's courage. Okay, those are the ones that, you know, we try to bring everything into. That's 21 steps right there. Then there's some people that never get that there's a law of rhythm.
Yeah, now what does that mean?
Okay,
it can be the seasons, it can be a 30-day cycle, it can be a stage, you know,
I know what that means, that everything is a
think
is
of the bird song. That gets you started. Right, it's the law of rhythm, but there's so many intricate rhythms. It's not just, I mean, I always think of the bird song. To, you know, there's the season, turn, turn, turn.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's one way to bring it about, but there's
okay.
intricate ones. There's female cycles. There's male cycles. There's stages
mm-hmm.
in our development.
There's a million cycles.
There's toddlers.
Here's a good description. Everything flows out and in. Everything has its tides. All things rise and fall. The pendulum swing manifests in everything. The measure of the swing to the right is the measure of the swing to the left. Rhythm compensates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, now when you say it, when you at first I'm like, well, what the heck is that? But then now I can understand that. I get that. Yeah, that would be a big one, wouldn't it?
clarity. Everybody thinks that, you know, left, right, good or bad. But what about contrasting clarity?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about, you know, clear and fog? But I'm just saying they grasp onto, like, one aspect when there can be so many more aspects. But that's where I think this explodes on us, and then people just go, I can't deal with it, so I won't.
Yeah, it's too much. But, hey, here's a thought, Barbara. If, like, when we're on the other side, let's just say, okay, and we're these beings, okay, and we're light or whatever we are, do those the laws are there, are they still, but why would we need laws on the other side? Or do we?
Because we're still evolving. I mean, we're still, you know, on the other side. Of course, you know, there is total awareness. So that basically, of course, they apply, but there's nothing going on there other than, you know, kind of resting and getting ready to come back here.
Because there's no male and female. There's no right or wrong, because it just is, right? Everything just is. So.
No, wait a minute.
I tend to look at it a little different.
I mean, there are male and female on the other side. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, but no, I don't believe that, though. I don't think that when we leave here and we go back to our spiritual higher self, that we're
mm-hmm.
not male or female. We're just a being. We're a light being.
We're just energy.
But
until we take on, this is my feeling. My feeling is we are energy, but we stay with the genders that we last had, and I'm going to put it that way, until we decide if we're coming back here or going on to a different reality. And assuming assume the next role, the next persona, the next challenge. I don't know how to word it, but I think that also, and I'm going to say this for about me. I think I also understand it that way because I'm finite, and it's the only way I could understand a shift into the infinite.
Mm-hmm. Another philosophy. Another philosophy is
mm-hmm.
that when we go into the other realm immediately, we have more density than those that have been there a longer time. And the longer we stay there, the less and less dense we become until we do become absolute energy, period.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, then we make those choices, as Deb said. Do we come back to this realm? Do we go on to another realm? You know, we have infinite choices as to where our spirit energy takes us. And you know, if you look at the Toth material, those etheric energies floated in space until they saw something that looked like fun. I am, of course... I am trivializing it. They looked down and they saw the planet and they thought, God, that might be fun to play with. Let's go down there. They came down and they needed to have a form that would be indigenous mm-hmm. to the planet and survive. And so, voila, human beings. Because this is what worked here on this planet. If they had seen another planet that looked like, I don't know, the Seven Dwarfs cave, which I think was amazing. I mean, it just, you know, they had faceted gems in the ceiling, for God's sakes. Anyhow, but then that planet, the atmosphere may have been completely different. The gravitational pull may have been completely different. And so whatever form was needful for that environment, that etheric body took on. So, and I
think that, too. I think we're like that. I really do. I think that when we're on the other side, I go with that concept there, where you kind of diminish. Because I know when I talk to spirit, that's what it feels like, too. And you can tell the difference between someone that's been on the other side for 10, 15, 20 years. They're way different looking than somebody who passed a year ago.
Absolutely.
So they look
right.
different. They communicate
right.
different. And their feelings are different. You know, it's like they're looking at you going, what the hell are you talking about? And so I think that's and I like the idea that I'm flying over looking around going, hey, I think I'll try that out for a while, you know?
Well, you know,
I think it's that much joy. I just wonder about how those laws fit into that.
Well, they are universal. In other words, wherever we go, whatever
they're there.
You know, whatever we perceive that reality to be is what it becomes for us. If we do something that is awful, it will come back at us. You know, there is the cause and effect. It's a spiritual law, but it rules our spirit, which is within a physical form. So the physical form is getting the results of the lesson that the spirit is needing to learn. If you are out of work for 5 years and struggling and stuff like that, you know, I hate to say it, but your consciousness, your personality is really mad as hell. Your spirit is learning something, and that's the important thing. And if you perceive this as, you know, and every now and then I speak to my spirit and say, are you sure you want to learn this? Couldn't we learn something more fun? You know, hey, come on, this sucks. I'm ready to move on to the next level, aren't you? Because I'm ready.
Yes, I've been there about a million times. I'm like, I've had enough of this.
But we aren't split personalities, except we have two levels of awareness that are inside of us. And you know, everybody talks to themselves internally. Everybody does, you know, reach out there and you know, talks back and forth to themselves. And that other voice often is saying, you know, are you crazy? What the hell are you doing? And it's really important that when that happens, you stop and you take a look at it. I mean, there have been times when I've thought, think is physical, what I was doing was perfectly fine. And then I looked at, you know, and the Native Americans have that, you know, is it good for seven generations yet to come? And the answer to that is most probably all the time, oh, heck no. So you know, if they thought about that when they put up the nuclear reactors in Japan, they never would have put them up. If the law was, you had to follow this for seven generations, what could possibly happen? They never would have done it, and the planet would have been healthier. Do you know that there was, who was I talking to? I was talking to a Canadian, I was on a radio show in Canada, Project Freedom, and I was talking to the host there on a show sometime last week. And he was saying that he had a friend who lived on Vancouver Island who was just kind of cleaning his car off. And just for the heck of it, after he was done cleaning his car off, he took a radioactive detector thing, and he put it over the cloth that he'd wiped his car off with, and it was 100 times over what it should have been.
Oh,
and that
my
was,
goodness gracious.
That was from, you know, the Japanese,
disaster,
the nuclear fallout, yeah.
So again, an example of, okay, you know, that wasn't a good idea. And humanity is going to suffer from it.
So, but that's, is that like karma then, cause and effect? Or, I mean, okay, I got lost.
Well, the law of cause and effect says nothing ever happens by chance. We reap what we sow. Every action has a reaction and a consequence. It's more the karma thing. But there is a law of correspondence. So everything has a corresponding principle.
I can see the as an example of Fukushima thing. Is that right, Fukushima?
Yeah.
Okay.
Close enough.
And
yeah.
Then, but the cause and effect, what's the good that's going to come of that? Oh, I know. More knowledge about it because we see what happened with it, right?
Right.
That's the good that came of it is that we got educated from it.
But we also have a lot
more to deal with. In consequences. So there's law of compensation and there's law of correspondence.
Yeah, and you got to understand that there are fisheries on Vancouver Island that are now closing because the fish are not there anymore because they've been killed by the radioactive water that is constantly flowing back into the ocean. So probably that occurrence is going to follow us for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We will have to adapt our way of living because of that event. Now, if we don't learn from it, if we repeat it, we will get the same result for hundreds and hundreds of years. So it's sort of like,
we're going to have the same sort of effect due to the Gulf oil spills. It's not the same effect, but it's in that realm.
No,
because
but it is.
There is so much being killed off and will never be the same, ever be the same.
Right. I got that, yeah. And that those things are happening for us to learn about conservation and how to do things differently, supposedly.
Well, those things are a result of man's free will doing something that probably was against nature. And when you stop to think about it, all of these things have come from major corporate entities who are out for profit and gain. And so then you have to look at humanity as a whole and you have to think, are we being ruled, are we being guided by our spirits or by our greed? And if it's greed that is definitely at work here, then there is a balance to that. If you are greedy, if you take from others, then they will take from you. And if we are allowing it to happen within our lives, then we are allowing this. So we are responsible on some level in some way as well. As individuals, we have put them in power.
Right. That's true. We have the way to make it stop, I guess, by voting
in. So then we have to go back to action.
Right.
Then we have to go into action and put into motion that what we want around us. To manifest the things we desire, we have to engage in the actions which support our desires as well as our thoughts, dreams, emotions, and words. We have to actually put the energy into it to get that wheel of energy started. Energy begets energy.
Mhm.
Yeah, it gets confusing after a while.
Yeah,
but,
I get confused. And it's also
even in writing. Go ahead.
Hmm? But I mean, even in right and wrong, I always feel like right and wrong is I'm judging. You know what I mean? Because I'm making a judgment call.
Mhm.
It's a discernment.
Yeah, it's all kind. Yeah.
To me, there's discernment, and judging to me would be, okay, Renee is judge and jury and says, you know, to everybody out in front of her, they're going to pay a price that she deems as a penalty. That's judgment over them, and nobody can change it. That is judgment to me, okay?
Okay.
Versus discernment, which is you take in all the facts, you see as much as you can see, and then you make a decision on the facts that are presented to you.
Hmm.
But that's your decision, not everybody else's.
You're also forgetting that in judging, you are trying to interfere with these universal laws that are in place.
And there's no, that's a sub-law too, isn't it? That's non-interference.
Yeah, and it's sort of like, you know, somebody breaks a human law. That's different than breaking a spiritual law. When you break a human law, you are breaking a spiritual law on some level. You know, you are going against someone else. But judgment is a tough one, and judgment is something that that's a hard nut to crack, because judgment isn't a good idea, because that means you're setting yourself up as something as better than someone else, and that's not appropriate because we are all exactly the same. So
and that's where I try to stay, is where I'm not judging anything. But I don't know, is that then if you're not judging anything, are you just like blowing in the wind? I don't know. You see what I'm saying? I know that there's some balance there.
Yeah.
But I try not to judge. But
and there's a fine line between discernment and judging. Somebody does something bad to you. You say they're a bad person, they deserve to be punished. Or you become discerning and say, that's behavior I don't want around me, I'm going to withdraw from it. The universe will take care of the rest of it.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not going to participate.
Exactly. The more you try to make things right, the more you screw things up.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's a good
description. Yeah.
So that you know, you can be discerning and remove yourself from something that you don't feel right about or that you don't agree with. And it's okay to say, I don't agree with this, I don't think I want to play with this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. But judging is a tough one, because we all do it, and we do it naturally, and we've been taught to do
mm-hmm.
it. So it's a matter of, you know, stepping back and saying, all right, this doesn't work for me. I'm just removing myself. On a personal level, I think they're wrong, but I'm not the one to tell them. They have to figure
right.
that out themselves.
Then you can do that on a bigger level too, and that's what I mean with all these. There's so much going on in the world that is so messed
okay,
up.
Well, let's,
but I mean,
let's, look at the oil spill. All right, the company responsible for that, you don't have to use their product. You can intentionally go to other places. I mean, there are things you can do. You can write letters of you know, displeasure. There are lots of things you can do. And if everybody takes that same attitude, eventually their stock goes down and they get the message.
Yeah, that's true.
So let's go with governments. I don't like this person. Well, you know, did you vote? Nah, I didn't vote. I didn't feel like it. Well, then you don't have a right to complain because you didn't vote. Or if you did vote for the other party and nothing happened, that means that maybe you need to take a more active part in making sure that that person is not elected again. Not speaking against him, but speaking for someone else.
Hmm.
So yes, we have power. We have lots of power. But you're talking all of this on the physical plane, and we're talking spiritual laws. But can you see how the perception of, I have total control of this whole thing. I just need to be able to perceive it differently. But the laws do apply to our physical reality as well. They absolutely do. Somebody screws with you, walk away.
Well, most of the time.
Or whatever. No, that's not for me to do. The universe, honest to God, will take care of it. Walk away. And you know, are you human? Do you want to keep checking on it to make sure that the universe is doing its job? Absolutely. But you know, don't mess with it. Don't get involved in it. It's not your job.
Yeah.
And our job as, you know, as physical people on this plane with the spirit inside of us is to try to deal with the lessons the spirit has drawn or signed on for or put in front of us. And to do it with integrity and love and compassion and hopefully be able to embrace some of the garbage it throws at us. You know, sometimes when I think, you know, when I go back to that totally etheric place, I want to take a list with me and remember what this did last time? You know, I was joking. I don't know who I was talking to. I think it was Jen Young. I was saying, I think when we get together with, you know, people that we've incarnated with before, energies that we've incarnated with before, we might all kind of go to the local, I don't know, cosmic juice
maybe
bar.
Maybe that's what around. My view is really about.
Well, that too. And so we're at this juice bar and we're all talking about, okay, the lessons that I want to have this next time. And we should remind each other, don't check all the boxes. It makes for a harder trip. Don't check them all.
Yeah.
Don't be that ambitious. You know, you're a totally wonderful, beautiful, you know, etheric blob here. Don't check all the boxes. Pay attention. And I'm not going to.
I don't know what we're doing.
You know, and I'm not marrying you because you were a bad husband. But you know, but seriously, I think that there is that. I think that when we do return to just pure energy, that there is a wonderful joy and you know, celebration inside of us, and we just don't think about what it's like to be trapped in a human body and have to deal with the stuff, the lessons, the challenges that we've asked for ourselves. And they're challenges, and they're meant to be good and beneficial and a growing experience. They're not meant to be hard and painful. They're meant to teach us something that we really need to learn. So
that's
the
law of relativity.
Yeah. And it's all there.
And the idea is to look at it and look at everybody else around us and realize the relativeness, you know, of it. Like, okay, I might think I'm pretty bad right now, but if you look around, you see somebody that's a lot worse.
Right.
So then, you know, be grateful that you're not a lot worse and then start dealing with what you are. That's just me. Okay.
Well, it's that plus understanding that this is just a lesson. This is not meant to be something that you struggle with. This is a lesson, and let's look at it. And let's every now and then over the last couple of weeks, I've had things happen, and it's like, okay, what am I supposed to get from this? I know there's a lesson here, and I know it's a positive one. It doesn't feel positive, but I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be positive. and find out what, you know, and you know. Sometimes subtlety is lost on me, but you know, and grow from it, and not feel sorry for myself because I've got this lesson that I'm learning, but let me learn it all. I don't want to return, and I don't want to do it again. So let me learn it all. Whatever the details are, put them out there, give them to me, so we can get
Let's
on
do
with
it.
Whatever comes next. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So and that's where we all are. And there are so many people today waking up to their spiritual oneness or whatever it is. And and they don't have any idea about all of these laws. And they truly and I know The Secret was wonderful in that it woke people up, it reminded people of a lot of stuff, but
mm-hmm.
it stops short of you have to work for it.
Yeah.
You do. You have to make changes in your life in order for the things to come to you. You can't just wish it.
Yeah.
And
it's not positive thinking. It's more than that. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the reality, too, is if you want your life to change, if there's something in it that doesn't feel right, then it's just a mirror of what's going on inside of you. So let me look at that. Let me see if I can perceive things differently. Let me see if I can treat people differently. Let me see if I can make adjustments in me so that the reality around me is forced to change accordingly.
Yeah, yeah. And I've seen that work many times. So
mm-hmm.
I like that. But I can do it, like, in my own little world. bigger than that, no. But I mean, in my own little world, I've played with it, and I've seen it change things, people, situations, all kinds of things. So,
absolutely.
Yeah,
like,
I agree with that 100%.
I have a neighbor who is just a vicious, nasty person, and in my younger years, I would have responded in kind. And I would have topped her. I was really that good. But the last go-round we had, she came on so strongly and so nasty, and I looked at her, and, you know, I had an epiphany.
Yeah.
And it was, that's what I could become if I responded in kind. And that's awful. I don't want to be that. And I just smiled at her, and I told her her garden was beautiful, and I kept moving on. And for the next, I don't know, couple weeks, whenever she ripped at me, I just smiled at her and said something really nice that was genuine. You know, it has to be genuine or it doesn't count. And, you know, she stopped coming at me. I think she must think I'm just a lunatic and it's better not to aggravate me. Or she said... it doesn't matter, but whatever it was taking the higher road. It was giving out kindness. So you know, if she's nice to me because she's sorry that I've lost my mind, that's okay too. But it works. It totally works. And I think that's what these laws are meant to remind us of, that we have control. We can absolutely control everything. It just means we work on ourselves, and it's sort of like and I'm not saying I don't believe in praying and meditating and stuff like that. All of those things are really good tools.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're praying, understand you're talking to yourself. You're talking to that part of the infinite that is within you. It's you're not going out there for help. You're going in here for help. That's where the power is. That's where the wisdom is. Where the strength is.
That's the whole trip. That's the trip. Is in. And I think that it's interesting, too, to watch people when they think it's all on the outside, and then to see them slowly start to change as they realize that it is on the inside. You know, that I always call it the trip in, you know. The Armageddon is the Armageddon with yourself, where you got to go in and face all parts of yourself and come to terms. But I agree with that. I think we are the center of everything. We are the center of the universe. You know that saying? It's true.
Well, and that other phrase that, you know, Patrick used to say it. Now, I don't know where he got it from. I'm pretty sure he got it from someplace, not because he isn't worthy of these kinds of things, but I'm pretty sure he heard it and repeated it. We are who we've been waiting for.
Yes, I agree. That's
and,
a good one.
And, yeah, it really is. And I'm sure, you know, Deb is probably going to tell me who said it originally, but it's accurate. We have to, and so on this journey, so many people are looking to a guru or a teacher or a religion or a philosophy, and you got it all inside yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And
sometimes you need to be pointed in a certain direction, but Yeah, it, all the work that needs to be done has to be done by you, the discovery by you. And I think once you make that connection in, and then you can connect to your higher self and get the guidance that you need and know what, you know, what it is. Because some people don't even know what it is. It was like me. I didn't know what the heck that was. It was me.
Well, I think
they could stand there and tell me, "This, I'm you." I've had, like, I don't believe in guides or anything like that either. And I've had parts of myself come to me and go, "I'm you. You're me."
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different perspective of you. And I'm like,
absolutely.
Oh, I get it. Yeah.
Well, I
get it. I'm a little hard-headed sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's a tough one. Because we've been taught that by so many that we are you know, small and servants of, and you know,
mm-hmm.
I just
sinners. You're a sinner.
You know, we're only that if we allow it. If that's how we perceive ourselves, that's exactly what we are. But
yeah.
And with no disrespect to religions, you know, I just feel that why should I let someone else take away my power when I have it as well? And,
right.
And it's sort of like, you know, my son and daughter-in-law are fundamental Christians, and I go to church with them whenever I'm visiting them, and it's amazing to see how they are humble servants of, as opposed to taking responsibility for everything in their lives, and saying, you know, this is what that part of the infinite in me helped me to manifest. You know, people's belief systems are their belief systems, and they're entitled to them as long as they need them. And when they don't need them, then they become a stepping stone to a greater awareness of a greater cosmic universe that's out there. And when we do meet others from other planets, we're just meeting another part of ourselves. We're not meeting, the term alien only means not indigenous to this planet. But we're all made of the same stuff. You know, that infinite spirit has a great sense of humor, and the human condition tends to worship things that are more powerful or more technologically advanced than we are, instead of saying, "Show me how to do that."
Right.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why the people, the so-called gurus and all those people that charge all that money and lead those people all over the place, I don't know what that is. I think that it's not wanting to believe in themselves, or they're searching, but it seems like they're searching, yes, but they're keep looking for something outside, and they keep looking for a quick fix, and
mm-hmm.
they're going to fix it for me, you know, and it does. I don't think spirituality is like that. It's not somebody doing it for you. It's you have to do it. Like one time with my teacher, I spent 10 years with, and I had this being with me all the time since I was a little girl, and she goes, you know, and I said, "Well, I got to get him removed." And she said, "Well, what are you asking me for?" And I said, "Well, can't you get rid of him?" And she said, "No, that's part of you.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of you that is trying to show you something about yourself that you need to learn in this lifetime. So pay attention to it. And when you've learned it, it will disappear." And that was a really good lesson, because it was part of an ego. Part of a male ego of me, and it was just the most obstinate childlike thing I'd ever seen. And so we had some discussions, and then I integrated it within me, so it will always be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that when it pops out, the ego's getting too big, it's time to get it in the back seat again. And then
exactly.
I look at things, and I and I integrate again and bring him in and integrate him as part of me. But there's always something I'm going to learn.
Well, so, yeah, and I think you brought up a very important word, and that's ego. That's, you know, personality and lower consciousness stuff all rolled up into one. And very often our ego tries to pretend to be more spiritually evolved than it is, and it gets us in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you personally discern between higher consciousness and the ego?
The ego, and it was so interesting, too, because I could hear him. It's a male figure, and I could hear this male ego talking. You're so wonderful. You're like a star in the sky. You're so special. You are this. You are that. You are this. You are that. And I'm like, oh, my God, shut up, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that is the ego. You, and you're special, and you're this, and it's a bunch of BS. So you have to quiet that down, because somehow, somewhere, that's feeding something in you, right?
Right.
That at that time you need, or I needed at some point. And then at some point I started going, I don't want to hear this anymore. So that's the difference. Me, 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 me is the ego. You're wonderful. You're this. And when it's a higher consciousness, it never talks like that.
That's really, really good definition of it. My definition is very similar. The ego will try to tell you what to do. The higher consciousness will only give you a philosophy, and you have to make your choices and decisions and apply it according to what you feel is right.
Yeah.
So when I've done channeling especially, I have always looked very carefully to make sure that it's not saying you should do this and you should do this and you should do this. It's giving me philosophies, and those philosophies I'll apply to my reality, and I will experience what I need to, and then I'll be able to move on.
Right.
And it's really, it is sometimes a battle, because the ego really, 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 you know, catches on very fast and learns that we are trying to communicate with a higher consciousness. So literally, because it doesn't want to lose control of everything, it pretends to be that higher consciousness.
Yes, and I went through that too, where it was pretending.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did ask my teacher, who is a very strong clairvoyant, I said, why do I have this? And she said, you know, you're going to be shown at a later date why, but it is serving you. It's serving you right now. And I learned a lot from it. I learned that at any moment, he's right there, you know, that part of me, just right, the male side ego of me is right there ready to go, you know, and tried to tell me things before, and I kind of went for it, and then I went, wait a minute, this doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right. And then I kind of kept him quiet by integrating him, and then that's when all the other things could come forward, and then it really became so solidly different that I knew. Yeah, but it does take the discernment and experience of going through something like that.
Well, and I think, you know, with this whole spiritual development thing, a lot of the people don't actually understand that we really can communicate with that higher consciousness. And they think that you know, that voice they hear inside their head. Oh, okay. Carrie wants to know how you integrated. Let's give her that. How do you integrate that part?
That part of myself through unconditional love and acceptance. And then how I did it is I do a lot of energy work to stay in balance, and for my own thing, who knows? Some people do it, some people don't. I do. And then I go up into my higher self, and then I take, and it's a him, I take him and I hold him and I tell him that I love this part of myself, and you will always be with me. I will always love you, but you're not in charge. So come with me because you're part of me. I don't want you separate and away. Come with me, and I want to integrate you into this part, but the soul is in charge, not you. So it's like I got a bus or a car, and he can sit in the back seat and be part of me, but he can never drive. Only the soul, higher self, is in charge. The personality, Renee, is next to the soul. You know, I mean, that's just how I do it in my mind. Other people might do it in different ways. But he is integrated because he is part of me. For me to try and say that's not me, that's not true because he is part of me. And he served a wonderful, wonderful lesson for me. And so I appreciate that. But I get, you know, when I've had enough, I'm like, come on. We got to go. Come on. And because he is my sign. When he pops out and he's there too much, I know that I'm not centered in within my own light. I've gone to, you know, I'm going to ego. So I got to bring it back in, get centered, and integrate him back in. And it's not a big process anymore. But it was at the beginning because I didn't know who the, I didn't know what this was. You know, I was just like, I could see him, but I didn't, and other people could see him too, but I didn't know what it was. So, but then I figured it out. You know that we have the male side and the female side of our egos, supposedly. Well, I think he's more like the male side of me, but I just say he's my ego, so I throw him back in.
But that's how I integrate. I have found the same thing, that when I find myself, you know, making ready to do battle on any level, anywhere, I know I have to take a deep breath and back up and say, wait a minute. Where are you going?
Who's doing this?
I mean, you've got a great plan here, and this is all going to really just boomerang right back at you and hit you in the face. Are you stark raving mad? But and yes, it would feel really good for a minute, and then you would suffer the consequences of all of those actions. So back off.
Back off.
Barbara, and you know, I think that it may go back thousands of years to when mankind was really a warring culture, when we were fighting constantly, when our way of solving problems was to kill somebody or something, and I think that's a leftover part of consciousness that we have to deal with, and you know. Rather than, you know, going out and killing someone or trying to destroy their reputation or their name or whatever, we become more, your word, discerning, and we back off and we say, I'm going to let someone else take care of that. I'm going to move on, and I'm going to hope that they get better or whatever. So that it's really, it's a very, 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 It's an easy catch in some ways, and in other ways it's not quite so easy. I have a very quick tongue, and I can respond sharply if pushed too hard, and that's not me. That's the ego doing it. I mean, I'd love to say, excuse me, that wasn't me. Let me give you my answer. And there are some situations where I actually can say, oh, that just slipped out. Let me step back and say it for real. But unfortunately, you know, words don't start to live until they're spoken. And when they're spoken, they're alive. And
integrating parts of yourself, you know, the child part, there's all different parts of us, right? And, like, I got a scrappy little inner child. Well, it's that damn teenager, you know. But then I've got the abused child that's the part of me that I've done a lot of work with. And how I take care of parts of myself are, it took me a long time to become a parent of who I am. So I am a parent to those parts of myself. And I bring them and I set her on my lap and I love her and I hold her and I give her the love that she felt that she didn't get. And then I integrate her. And each time it gets less and less of her responding to things. You see what I'm saying? Whereas it's less and less, and then the higher self actually is and the soul is leading. And these parts become quiet.
Yeah.
Whereas before, they were all screaming and yelling and causing havoc. And each so, and I mean, I just learned this, how to do that myself through time. Well, I was guided to, but by loving those parts. And so, and still to this day, I'm like you. I can respond, and I'm like, there's a part of me that just is like, and I'm like, what is that? You know, like, I can look at myself and see that part of me with that mouth and the anger, and I'm like, whoa.
I think Carrie has a question. Carrie?
Oh, do I?
You put up the ninja.
Sorry. I forgot about that.
Subconsciously, you wanted to.
You have something to share, Carrie. Share it.
I just did in the chat. So, I know it's something I'm dealing with, is getting this ego under control. So I suppose,
Well, Barbara, don't you think part of that is you can't battle the ego, right?
No. Oh, gosh, no. No, that's, no, you don't want to fight it. You just want to love it and shut it up.
Yeah. I suppose the more you fight it, the more it fights you back. And, oh, God.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it thinks that you're going to kill it. You know, it goes, it's in for self-preservation, man. And so, like, it goes, well, you're going to kill me? Oh, no. I'm in charge. You know, so loving it. Yeah.
And How about the "you would be nowhere without me" phrase?
Well, it would be nowhere without me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, the other part of that is there's the part of the ego that's to save the human from themselves too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, ego gets a bad rap on some things, but there is an integral part. It's the enough that gets them to, you know, not kill themselves, not let everybody else kill them and say, oh, that's okay, you didn't really mean it. You know, that kind of thing. Get you
well,
out of trouble.
Well, maybe that's the positive ego. You know, you got the
well,
lower
I mean, it's
and
a part
higher.
Of it. But it, and then there's that, you know, roaring side that I'll get you. Well, you have to tame that part.
I think mine's a ninja warrior. I don't know.
Well, yeah. I think the ego is you know, it's important. It helps us to manage a lot of situations here. I mean, if we were totally in our higher consciousness, I mean, we would have all been trampled to death and used by everyone, and we would just smile and say, that's okay, I'll get to next life, and that will be it. But this, you know, this is our reality here, and this is our consciousness of this reality, and it's an important part of us. It remembers names and places and dates. It remembers the important things that the spirit really doesn't care about. And it keeps us functional within this reality. And, you know, without it, we would be... Well, we could probably go to a mountaintop someplace and meditate for the entire lifetime, but I'm not sure we'd be able to, you know, really accomplish much of anything. So the ego
and, you know, I think most of us have spent a lot of lifetimes, I call it staring at our belly button, or like you say, going on a mountaintop. And that's not what this life is about. This life is about being amongst people and still staying balanced, still being able to... but being practical about it, because like you said, you know, we'd be a pile of mush and the world would just run us over if we didn't have some kind of ego. So it's the balance. That's what I always think it's about.
Exactly. And being spiritual and in your higher self is not, It doesn't mean, please walk over me. Please take advantage of me. I'm going to allow this. I'm going to let everybody, like, walk with dirty boots through my flower garden, so to speak, you know.
Uh-huh.
It means, you know, be in your, you know, I don't want to say power, but it is almost been in your power, been in your...
It is. It absolutely is.
Yeah.
And it's your ego, actually, that helps you to stand up for yourself when others don't do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, you need the ego. It has a good idea of your worth. It doesn't understand the total worth, but it knows that if you're abused, it's not going to have as much fun as if you aren't.
Yeah.
So almost any person that you talk to that is being made a victim of some sort, you know, they know they're being made a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And they're afraid of change because they don't know if they change things. They don't know if they'll have that kind of control. So the ego keeps them being the victim because at least they understand that.
But if you're a victim, you're out of control.
That's true. That's very true. And the ego is in control of your reality. And it manages you with fear. Don't change, because if you change, I don't know if I can help you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you set the ego aside and tell it to go to lunch, that you're going to stand up for yourself. And then you bring order back into your life and balance. And balance is important. So... You know, it is amazing. It does work. And you know, it's an exciting thing, discovering that other part of yourself that's there and so powerful. And so it's just there, and we have to access it to use it. And you do have to go through your ego. Ego is the doorkeeper, kind of. And you have to say, you know, let me in. I really need to talk to that other person, too. And once you have them both working for you, you're unstoppable. But
very
it's,
true.
It's keeping the balance, like Renee said.
Well, I mean, you could see it like your ego is like your fight or flight response. It serves you and it doesn't serve you. And you could get like adrenal fatigue. I just don't know how that would be. Playing dizzy and... Like ego overdrive, maybe?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, when the adrenaline kicks in, the ego is, you know, on steroids. So,
yeah.
And I've been there. That's what a panic attack is. You know, if you've ever had a panic attack, that's your adrenaline going crazy, and you don't know why, but you kind of figure something must be wrong, and... You try to imagine what it could be, and you go so crazy, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah. I mean, we're in a physical body. Our vehicle is as far as the spirit goes, probably antiquated. But it's all it's got this lifetime, so it's going to try to take care of it. But the ego can pull a whole bunch of buttons and can push all sorts of them, and can shift your reality and can shift your perception of your reality if you let it. But you have to be smart enough to not let it. And that comes with time and practice. I know now if I have a panic attack, I fold laundry, because I find I can do an amazing amount of work when I'm having a panic attack. It's just, you know, the energy is there. So let's use it. Let's clean the oven or do something that, you know, is mindless.
Do you hyperventilate and everything, or what kind do you get?
I get the palpitations. You know, I know it's not a heart attack, but it probably feels like it. And I do have the adrenaline rush, so that it's kind of like, okay, I'm going to. Yeah, I think if I overexerted myself, I would become breathless, but I don't overexert myself. Folding laundry is not that exerting, you know.
No.
But you have adrenaline flowing through your system. You have to do something to get it out of your system. And the medical thing that is important for anybody who has panic attacks should know no panic attack really lasts longer than half an hour. So if you set your timer for half an hour and the dinger goes off and you're still in the middle of it, then maybe you should go to the hospital because it could be a heart attack.
You need tranquilizers.
But you know, it's sort of like understand that this journey is meant to be fun. And if we perceive it as that, it becomes a lot more fun. It is a joyful ride. And you know, yes, there are lessons that have to be learned, and yes, we do gather them. And if we let them get the best of us, they can be emotionally sucking. And then we learn something and we gather something from it, but always understand that there is a positive message being given to us no matter what the challenge is. And when we figure that positive message out, everything dissipates. And we move on to the next challenge, of course, but, you know, it's kind of like got that one. And every now and then when I get through one of these challenges, I sit back and I gloat a little bit. You know, it's like, wow, it took us 70 years to get here, but I figured that one out, and it only took maybe 3 weeks. You know, I'll be better next time. You know, by the time I'm 120, I'm going to catch these things almost as they happen.
Oh, God, that's a good one. That's good. Yeah.
It will happen eventually. Well, listen, we're out of time, guys, but thank you so much for sharing. You made this 2 hours go so fast. It was amazing. We're going to look into the laws next time. So read through the different laws. Don't be overwhelmed by them. We're going to apply them to spirit, and then we'll take a look at how they hit our spiritual reality as well. But thank you for spending the fourth with me and Debbie. And
thank you.
The blog is up there. If you have anything you want to say, if you have a question you want to ask, go to the blog and put it in. I'll watch and I'll answer, and so will Deb. So thank you for spending the time with us, and have a great one. Take care now. Thanks, Renee. And thank you, Lynn. Bye-bye.
Bye.